You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, right? And the truth shall set you free. Therefore, if the Son of God has set you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, good morning, church. Praise the Lord. I say good morning, church. Thank you for being in God's house this morning. Hallelujah. Well, there's just a freedom in this place this morning because the Holy Spirit is here, right? You know, when we minister to the men as well as to the women, you know, they are incarcerated. They're in prison. But the gospel is the good news that although you are incarcerated, right, you can be free. Amen. Just because you are in a concrete building doesn't signify, you know, you alleviated your freedom. Because freedom is in your mind and in your heart. You know, I remember a story many, many years I heard or read where these great elephants that were used in the circus, you know, all they had was a rope tied around their neck and placed upon a stake. And here you have this huge, about 4 to 5 ton weight of an elephant, a huge elephant, a great animal, powerful animal, and all they have is a rope tied around their neck to a stake. And they're just docile and calm. But from what that story said, that as a young, when the elephant was young at age, what they would do is they would chain the elephant to a stake, chain them. And the elephant at a young age would try to struggle and get loose. And because he was young and not as big and strong as he is now, in his mind, he cannot remove that chain because of his mind at that time. And it's ingrained in his mind, even though he's huge and all he has to do is just swing his neck and he'll be free, because it had been ingrained in his thoughts that I cannot. There's a barrier that stifles him because of that young age. I cannot. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I cannot. But now he's a huge animal, not realizing that he can. Because in his mind he cannot, he don't even try. Amen. So there's a barrier within his mind that has limited him. Despite of how great and mighty he is. Amen. And God has placed his Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. The spirit of might and power. God's ability and his might within us. So we have to renew our mind to know that we are not just normal natural people. We are supernatural people. And God has placed his spirit within us. So that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. How? To the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible says that them that believe can do what? Some things, the little things, all things, right? Repeat it, repeat this after me. I am ready for the greater. No, no, say it like you mean it. I am ready for the greater. And the greater might be something different from everybody's greater. Amen. It might be believing God just for an arthritis or just for pain, but some of us maybe even more. Right? But repeat after me. I am believing God for the greater. Because the greater one, God's Holy Spirit, lives in me. Amen. He does. He does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And in saying that, we want to continue our series that we've been doing on the Spirit-filled life. Amen. And more precisely, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have you back, Sister Pauline. Good to have Joel and Isabella back too. Praise God. So let's look at our text. In Galatians chapter 5. In fact, your Bible should just fall open to that place because we've been on a journey. Amen. We've been on a journey, and we've been discovering wonderful things about the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have been learning from the different fruit of the Spirit of God? Amen. And this morning, we'll be talking about the fruit of kindness. But let's read our scripture. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Say, praise the Lord when you get there. And I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. If you read above it from verse 16, it talks about all the fruit of the natural or the flesh. And we'll deal with that later, but we're focusing more on the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 22, the Word of God declares, but the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity of God, he's all God, right? Produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And what he's referenced to fruit in our lives is the divine nature or the divine character of Christ. That's what he says. That's what the fruit is. And Jesus says, he makes this statement. Jesus says that you will know people, their true intentions and motives by the fruit that they reveal in their lives. Amen. Their character. You'll know them by their character or the fruits that they produce or you see. Amen. Because they can be talking a good talk, but not living the life, right? And we know people like that. And there's no people like that here. Amen. Amen. But he said, you know them by their fruits, or you know them by their character. And we've known some characters in the past, right? In fact, some of you know some characters right now. Praise the Lord. And we used to be characters too. Amen. But we got delivered. We got saved. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross. Aren't you glad for the cross? Amen. Amen. Yes. And we will continue to preach about the cross. How many of you know, if it wasn't for the cross, right, the crucifixion, there would be no Christianity. Amen. There'll be no Christianity. There'll be no salvation. Right? There'll be no healing. There'll be no eternal life or abundant life. There'll be nothing. So I'm glad for the cross. Amen. But I've nailed their passions and desires, to their sinful nature, to his cross and crucify them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in all areas of your life. Let us not be conceited or high-minded or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Why? Because the Spirit or the divine nature of God is working in us. Now, by faith we are perfected, but we are walking out this perfection in our lives. Amen. So this morning we're talking about the fruit of kindness. And I like to entitle this message, Try a Little Kindness. Turn to somebody and say, you need to try a little kindness. Amen. But let me start off by saying, you know, when I was looking at this particular fruit, kindness, I realized that this is one of the most underrated, uninteresting fruit. Because I looked at it and go, kindness, okay. You know, it doesn't grab your attention, right? It doesn't pique much interest to where inquiring minds wants to know more, right? What is that magazine, Inquiring Minds Wants to Know? There was a tabloid that came out. Inquire, yeah. Inquiring Minds Wants to Know, right? But kindness is kind of like that, you know. It doesn't motivate you to know about it more, right? It doesn't grab your attention. in comparison to the previous fruits that we've spoken about, such as love, right? We all want to talk about love, right? We all want to talk about peace and joy and all that good stuff. But kindness, maybe because we don't understand what it is, that's why. But here's the thing, regardless of what we may think or know about what kindness is, the truth is, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, it is. We just read it, right? So there's a reason why God put it there. Because it's an attribute of God. It's part of His divine nature. Therefore, as God's people, right, kindness ought to be an attribute or a characteristic that is seen in us as well. Amen. Amen. Yes. You know, as with all the other fruit of the Spirit that we've spoken about previously and after this one, all of these fruit of the Spirit, kindness and love and joy and peace, they're all born of the Spirit. And it is rooted in the character of God, our Heavenly Father. Think about this when we talk about rooted in the character of God. God is good. That's part of His character. God is holy. God is love. God is righteous. God is kind. It speaks about who He is, His character, His nature, right? You see, God always reveals Himself to His character, His attributes. You remember when God met with Moses at the burning bush? Moses had an encounter with God. And he began to receive His purpose of why He was born. And God reveals Himself to Moses and tells him, Moses, remove your sandals because the ground you stand upon is holy. Now, why was the ground holy? Because God is holy, right? Because God was there, and that's what made the ground holy. Prior to that, it wasn't a holy ground. It was just a ground with a bush. But now God's presence is there. He's having an encounter with, Moses is having an encounter with God, and God says, hey, take off your shoes, because the ground that you're standing on is holy. And Moses realizes, this is a God who is holy by His character. Amen. So God reveals Himself through His character, that He is good, He is kind, He is love, He is holy, He is just. It reveals who He is. Amen. And as I said, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's an attribute of God. So as Spirit-filled believers, right, the fruit of kindness is part of us, of our spiritual DNA. Amen. Lambert spoke a little bit about on Wednesday night about spiritual DNA. It is already in us, these fruits, these characteristics, because we have been born again of the Spirit of God, right? When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came in and dwelt inside of you. You couldn't have gotten saved without the Spirit's help. Amen. He was the one who did all the regeneration. He's the one that did all that inner work that you cannot see, right, within you. So when He came in, He brought everything in that heaven has. Amen. So it's already in you. The spiritual DNA is already in us. The fruit of kindness is not something we try to obtain from the external, from the outside, but it's already on the inside, internally, in your spirit man that has been born again to the new birth. Do you follow me? Right? It's not something I'm trying to get. you already have it. It's already in you. It's already been deposited with inside of you. So what do we need to do? So we need to yield. Yield and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who is our divine helper. Amen. He's the one who will help us, right? And develop and cultivate these spiritual fruits, or some call it the grace gifts of God within you, to where it'll be productive, right? And actively working through us. It's one thing to understand what it is, but it's also one thing to understand that it needs to be actively flowing through us. Amen. And in order for us to understand that, we need to understand what the fruit of kindness is, right? What is its source, and what does it benefit you and for others? What does kindness do for me and for others, right? Now, when you hear the word kindness, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word kindness? I mean, there's a lot of things that come to our minds that we associate with, right? Dealing with kindness. Do we think about things such as being nice to others? Or maybe doing random acts of kindness whenever we can, whenever it is convenient? Author Mark Twain, anybody ever read books from Mark Twain? Yeah, his real name is Samuel Clemens. In middle school, I used to love reading his books, right? Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, right? Nobody knows that? Okay. I do. I love him. But anyway, he wrote this. He said, kindness is a language that the dumb can speak, that the deaf can hear, and the blind can see. Kindness is a language that the dumb can speak, the deaf can hear, and the blind can see. So what is he saying by that? What he's saying is kindness is something that you don't have to say, because people will know when it's there. They'll know without any words, right? Not even seeing it or feeling it. They'll know it's there when kindness is there. How many of you ever, you know, as a believer, you know, any time in your life as a believer, don't raise your hands, but you felt discouraged, or you felt like everything was coming against you, and that things seemed to be falling apart and coming apart at the seams? I think we've all been there. Or even maybe it felt like throwing in the towel or giving up or quitting, yeah? I think we've all had those moments. But only to be met by someone, you know, in those times of struggle that everything comes coming against you, only to be met by someone who is willing to make the sacrifice of his or her time to be with you. And I think we've all had those moments, right? That someone came along, someone that God sent to spend time with you and to talk you through it and just to be there to listen. Amen. And was able to bring you through from that time of discouragement. That was an act of kindness, because that person sacrificed their time. And what they were saying was, you are worth it, that you are valuable, and that's why I'm investing my time with you now. Does that make sense? Amen. Yeah. And that's an act of kindness, right? Aren't you glad for those times, for those people that God sent in those times of need? A woman by the name of Mammy Adams always went to a certain post office that was close to where she lived. It wasn't because the location, but mainly because the postal workers there always treated her kind and friendly. One day she waited patiently in a long line to buy a few stamps, and someone told her from the back, says, "Hey, there's no need to wait in line. There's a stamp machine in the lobby." And she responded, "Yeah, I know, but the machine doesn't say hello to me. It doesn't tell me, 'Hi, Miss Mammy, how's your day going?'" Amen. So I would prefer just waiting in line. Try a little kindness. You know, I came across this another story. There's a woman, a story of a woman who was standing at a bus stop. And she had just cashed her tax refund check. So she was carrying more money than the usual. That's a good thing, right? Having more money than the usual. And she noticed a shabbily dressed man standing nearby the bus stop. And she watched as she saw another man walk up to him, gave him some money, and whispered something in his ear. She was intrigued of what was going on. And she thought, wow, you know, she was moved and touched by that random act of kindness. And said to herself, "I'll do the same." In a burst of generosity, she took a $10 bill, handed it to the poor fellow, and whispered in his ear, "Mister, never despair. Never despair." The next day, she came to the bus stop, and there he was again. But this time, he walked up to her, and he handed her $110. And she was dumbfounded and asked, "What is this for?" He said, "Lady, you won. Never despair paid 10 to 1. He was a bookie. Now, the truth is, I cannot promise you that every act of kindness will pay 10 to 1. But in saying that, kindness does have its rewards. And my thought about kindness is it's kind of like paying it forward into someone else's life. That's what I picked up on what kindness is to me. It's paying it forward into somebody else's life. Amen. You see, the dictionary defines kindness as the quality of being friendly, or being generous, or being considerate. Yet, after thinking about those definitions, when you bring the fruit of the spirit of kindness, which is the divine nature of Christ, to those definitions, to those terms, you bring the divine nature and the fruit of the spirit of kindness into the equation, none of those words can truly explain or convey the spiritual significance, because those definitions pertains to the natural. But Jesus Christ's nature is divine. It's supernatural. So although it defines kindness, I would put it in a natural way, because everything of the Spirit is supernatural. There is a natural kindness that everybody do have. But as a born-again believer in Christ, you obtain a supernatural divine nature that goes far and beyond that, right? Because when you think about the divine nature of God and kindness, kindness has to be more than just loving people. Amen. It has to be more than just loving people. Right? But it's loving people more than they deserve when you bring into the divine nature of Christ. You see, when we look at the word kindness, right, we think of God, that God is kind to all those who love Him, those who are obedient, those who are serving Him. But God's kindness is not limited to that aspect. His kindness is also towards those who rebel against Him, those who are wicked against Him, those who oppose Him. His kindness is extended to them as well. It's not limited. Why would God's kindness be extended to the morally twisted or the wicked or those who don't even want to serve him? Why would he extend kindness to them? For the sole reason that they would come to repentance and understand that he is a loving, kind God, despite of how they're living and how they treat him. God is kind to all. His mercies are rich. Amen. He's not man, he's God. Does that make sense? Yeah. We're talking about God's kindness, per se, natural kindness. There's a big difference. So kindness is more than just loving people, but it's loving people more than they deserve, who are undeserving. And we know a lot of people like that. You know, we hold ourselves back because, you know what? You mess me up. You stiff me or whatever it is. I'm not going to love you, man. Amen. So I'm going to hold back, right? But it's more than just loving people. It's loving people more than they deserve. It's more than just being nice and doing random acts of kindness. The fruit of kindness is what Jesus says, is going the extra mile. Yeah, it's taking it to the next level and going the extra mile. It's God's love and grace in action. I like that song we did. You know, it's grace waiting. But kindness is grace in action. Yeah. Being seen. We understand that grace is God's unmerited and undeserved favor. We don't deserve God's grace. Amen. But yet God's grace is when, you know, God gives us what we don't deserve, right? His grace is when he gives us what we don't deserve because of his loving kindness towards us. Amen. By right, as sinners, you know, we deserve the consequences. But God's grace says, you know what? I'm going to extend my grace to you. I'm not going to give you what you deserve because of my loving kindness towards you. Amen. In Psalms 145, verse 17, the word declares, the Lord is righteous. How many of you know God is righteous? He's just. He doesn't have to explain himself to us. He doesn't have to explain why he does certain things. Because he's just, he's righteous. Right? And every act that he does, it says everything that he does, he is filled with kindness. Wow. Can you imagine God being filled and overflowing with kindness? Imagine your life being filled with kindness. Just like your Father in heaven. Interesting, the Hebrew word for kindness is the word hased. And this word is spelled C-H-E-S-E-D. The C is silent, hased. And hased is a covenant term. Hasid is nothing casual or shallow about it. Amen. Hasid is not a shallow relationship. It's not a surface relationship, but it's a covenant relationship, right? It's a deep, intimate relationship. It's an agreement between two people. And this agreement was taken very seriously when you talk about covenant. And we won't go into the depths of it. It's a whole teaching in itself. But hasid is a covenant term. Hasid is a attribute. It's a trait of God's grace, of God's compassion, and God's mercy. Amen. And it literally refers to a voluntary urge or need to give and to love without limits or restraints. Let me repeat that again. Hasid is an attribute or a trait of God's grace, God's compassion, and God's mercy, and literally refers to a voluntary urge or need to give and to love without limits or restraints. This is God's kindness. To give and to love without restraints to those who are undeserving or without worth. Everybody say, wow. I look at it, I go, wow, God, I got a long ways to go in this area. I can love those who love me, but those who are undeserving, right? Without worth. Amen. Like the guy who sits out by Walmart and begs for money all the time. Right? You guys know what I mean. But isn't that a powerful definition of God's kindness? And I think in human words, it doesn't even describe the fullness of what it is. So let me repeat that again. It's an urge or need to give and to love without limits or restraints to those who are undeserving and without worth. Now think about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Think about this pertaining to us. In Romans 5, 8, it says, God commended. That word commended means he demonstrated his love, his hasid, his loving kindness towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were living our lives, right? Living our sinful lifestyles and not even realizing that Christ died for us. Amen. Talk about giving and loving without limits or restraints to those who are undeserving and without worth. God himself lives out the example of who he is. So he demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love of Jesus Christ, right? The love of Jesus Christ is the proof or the evidence, right? By the fact of his death. He shows our love, he shows his love, right? His love for us to where he literally died, physically and spiritually. That he was willing to lay down his life as a lamb to the slaughter, to show us how much he loves us. But you know, when we talk about Jesus dying, why he had to die and who did he die for, you know, a lot of us, we say, well, he died for me. Or he died for all humanity, or he died for the world. But we don't realize that Christ also died for his Father. Yeah. Because it was an act of his love for the Father to obey him. And it was a response of Father's love towards him, towards Jesus. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Son of his love, right? So that by giving his Son or sowing his Son into the world, that he might get many more sons in the process. But it was all motivated by love, his kindness towards us. Are you receiving something this morning? You know, the writers, in defining and describing God's kindness to the utmost extent of who God is, right? I mean, God is unlimited. He's powerful. He's almighty, right? And you, if you're trying to describe and define God's kindness, boy, I mean, there's not much words that you can really define him. So the writers had to use compound words to really describe God's kindness. So they use compound words such as loving kindness or tender mercies. That God is not just kind, but he's loving kindness. He's not just merciful, but he's tenderly merciful. It kind of likes to put an impact, right? So yeah, loving kindness and tender mercy, because God's kindness, right, his grace, his compassion, his mercy flows out of his love. See, you'll never be operating in the fruit of kindness unless its source is directed from love himself. Because we do a lot of nice things. Because you can be nice, but yet still be unkind. Amen. Unless it's flowing out from love. Kindness flows out from love. Loving kindness. It is motivated by love, unconditional love, sacrificial love. Amen. Because, you know, a lot of the times if we wake up and we're having a bad day, right, we won't be kind. We'll be grumpy. We'll be ornery. We'll be nasty. Amen. So therefore, kindness has to be rooted, or it's outsourced from love, genuine love. And therefore, the fruit of kindness can be released in your life. So love is God, right? The source is God. And notice the first fruit, right, is love. Notice that. There's a reason why the writer, Paul, put love as the first one. Because love is the anchor. And everything else, all the different nature or the characteristics flow out of love. So love has to be established in our hearts. That God has called us to love as he loves with the love that he gives us, right? So out of that love that we receive from him flows out all the different nature and characteristics of God. But it's all anchored and rooted in the true source, which is God himself. God is love, right? So God is not just kind. He's lovingly kind. God is not just merciful, but he's tenderly merciful. Amen. There's a feminine side to God, right? What I mean by that is he's tender, but he's merciful. He's lovingly kind. So let's bring this down to where the rubber meets the road, to where it's working in our reality, in practicality, right? The source of kindness flows out from love, ultimately from God who is love. Therefore, kindness is more than just doing good deeds or random acts of kindness or expressing sympathy for those who hurt. It's more than that. In the light of God's kindness, right? But the fruit of kindness sees the hurt, sees the pain, sees the distress, but it also takes action. Amen. It's love and action, love and grace in action. It takes action to alleviate that hurt, that pain, and that distress. And when I was studying on this and reading this, I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit. And he said, when the fruit of kindness is actively active within you, you become God's answer to alleviate someone else's predicament or problem. Notice that. Let me repeat that again. When the fruit of kindness is actively active within you, you become God's answer to alleviate someone else's predicament or problem. Amen. Instead of focusing on the problem or being the somebody's problem, become God's answer to the problem in answering someone else's problem. Amen. I remember, I can't remember, James. You spoke one Wednesday evening, and you shared about how you had made some extra money from an extra side job that you did. And you had that money, and I guess you were ready to spend it. But a friend had called you and made known of a need that he had. And that was money. You remember that? You shared that over the pulpit. And you gave it to him and said, no strings attached. I mean, he could have used the money, but the extra job that he did. But there was a need. And he became the answer to somebody else's problem. Amen. Amen. And that's what I'm talking about, God's kindness in action. You see, the fruit of kindness operating in you, in your life, right, isn't satisfied by just offering a prayer or a word of encouragement. It is needful and it is part of it, but it's not all of it. Because the fruit of kindness takes action. It helps, it provides what is needed. Amen. So this kindness with God involved, it just takes this to a whole new level, right? It's not just being kind or nice or being generous. It takes it beyond that. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to develop these fruits in order for that to occur. Because naturally, we're limited. But supernaturally, there's no limit. Amen. God is not just kind, but he's lovingly kind. In Jeremiah 31, verse 3, Jeremiah 31, verse 3 declares, the Lord appeared to us in times past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Here's that covenant term again. I have loved you with an everlasting love. His love is everlasting. It'll never stop. Amen. God will never stop loving you. Amen. And as believers, that needs to be ingrained within our hearts, that God loves me forever. And it'll never stop. And in saying that, we need to stop saying, and if you're saying it, you need to stop it. And stop questioning God. God, do you love me? Don't allow your circumstances that you're going through, or the things that you're going through in life, even come in between you and God of questioning God's love for you. Amen. Don't allow the circumstances to question God's love for you. Always remember, God always loves you, everlasting, forever. You should, you know, right on the back of the tree, engrave it. God loves me forever, me and God forever. Amen. So the last thing we need to think about as Christians is, does God love me? Because God is not a God of circumstances. Just because things are going bad against you doesn't mean God stopped loving you. It has nothing to do with that. God always will and always has loved us. Amen. His love is internal. And I have drawn you with my loving kindness. It's always the love of God. God's loving kindness draws us back to him. you know, when we get all habut and we get all, you know, stuff's going on, you know. We're not doing what we're supposed to as believers. We're not praying. We're not reading our Bible. You know, all of that stuff we know. It is the love of God that draws us back to Him. Yeah. Hey, son. Hey, daughter. I miss you. How you doing? You know? Or He'll send somebody just to tell him. You know, God told me just to tell you He loves you. He hasn't forgotten. You know? But it's always His loving kindness that draws us back to Him. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Because He loves us with an everlasting love. And let me end with this. And in Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 8, Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 8, I'm reading this from the Word translation. And it says, it declares, however, when God, our Savior, he's talking about Jesus Christ, made His kindness and love for humanity appear. Okay, how did that happen? Well, when God came in the flesh, when Jesus came in the flesh, He made His love, right, and His kindness appear. Just by coming to this earth, right, as a human. And He comes to this earth, and verse 5, He saved us. Notice that. It's all part of His kindness and love. He comes down to this earth as a man, reveals His kindness and love, and He shows us His love by saving us, right? Saving us from the pit, right? The pit of hell, saving us from our own personal pits, right? Personal pits that we've dug and we fall into it and we can't get out. He saves us from those kind of things. Not because of anything we have done to gain His approval. There's nothing that we did that could gain His approval or His help. But instead of it, because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing in the Holy Spirit, gives us new birth and renewal. Not only do we get born again, but He restores us and makes us brand new, right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God doesn't just take your life and, you know, put tape here and, you know, put a Band-Aid here and, you know, caulk here and put potty here. You know, he doesn't do that. He just makes us brand new. Amen. He said, you know what? Let's just start all over again. Let's make this new design and make them brand new. Amen. All right? He didn't try to go, you know, replica Adam and Eve. You know, they already fell. So He's going to make a new creation, a creation that never existed. That's what that word means, a new creation, a creature never existed before, which is sons and daughters of God. So we become born again. He renews us. Brings us back into right relationship with Him, right? He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? Now, if you think about the word righteousness, right? It's a lawyer term, righteous. It's a forensic term dealing with the courts of law. I think Andrew knows a lot about that. So when you became righteous, actually before Christ, you were actually declared guilty because of our sins. But the moment you received Christ, He who became sin for us, right, that we might become the righteousness, God declared you innocent. He declared you righteous in the court of law. I have found you innocent, and therefore I declare you righteous based on the evidence from my divine nature and character of being a righteous judge. I declare you in right standing with me. Amen. And the devil was over there as the prosecutor. Guilty, guilty. Throw him in the cave. Throw away the key. And God says, no, I have declared them righteous. And what I have declared, so shall it be. Amen. In verse 6, God poured out a generous amount of the Holy Spirit on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He poured out, he filled us, he baptized us with his Holy Spirit. That word baptized means to be immersed or to be saturated. He poured. He didn't just give you a little dab. Well, do you? He poured out his Spirit into us. He poured out his presence in us. He made a deposit in us. He placed his guaranteed in us. The Holy Spirit was the down payment that would guarantee us that every promises that God has made, he will fulfill. And the Holy Ghost is that promise. He's that down payment, saying that I will come through with every promise I've told you because I placed the deposit in your life. And that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's that guarantee. See, when you buy a house, you got to put a down payment. Right, Audrey? Saying to whoever, the buyers or the realtors, that I am serious about buying this house. So I'm going to put an X amount of $1,000 here to say, get the ball rolling. And God says, you know what? I'm serious about my promises. And I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in you as a deposit and say, every promise that I've made in my book is going to come to pass. You can guarantee it. As a result of God's kindness has given us his approval, and we have become heirs who have confidence that we have everlasting life. I mean, we can just celebrate on that alone, of having everlasting life with an eternal God. This is a statement that can be trusted. You can trust it. As the word of the Lord came this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Just trust me. Trust me on this. I want you to insist on these things so that those who believe in God, which is us, can concentrate on setting an example by doing good things. This is good, and it helps other people. Kindness is good. God's kindness. God's love and kindness is good because it will help other people. You know, there's people who think that God is angry, that God is not a good God. Amen. That every time there's lightning, God is looking for somebody to take out. They have this false mentality of who God is. But kindness can set them straight when they see kindness operating in your life. You know, the God I serve is not that which you just mentioned. God doesn't take people. He doesn't take little kids. He doesn't create storms and hurricanes and tsunamis. He doesn't do that. He's good. He's kind. It's the devil that does that. But God gets blamed for all of these things that he's not even involved in it. See, Jesus is the personification of kindness. He is. He is the personification of kindness. He is the example of kindness. If you read your word, right? Jesus is the living word. This is the written word. And this written word reveals who Jesus is to us. This is how you get to know the real Jesus, the Jesus of the word, the word, the living word, through the written word. But Jesus is the personification of kindness. He is not only... He not only made known, but also revealed to us what God's love and kindness is and what it looks like. By coming to this earth as God in human form, that God's kindness is unlimited. Everybody say unlimited. Unlimited. It is, it's unlimited. Always reaching out to anyone who is suffering in pain or some kind of distress. God always responds with compassion. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, kindness is love and grace in action. Kindness is not just an attitude in one's heart or mind. It's not just an attitude in one's heart and mind, but it's an attribute. It's a trait of God's divine nature that is inside of each and every one of us. And this divine nature of kindness that is in each and every one of us has to get out. It wants to get out. It wants to be lived and it wants to be expressed. Amen. Are we available to allow kindness to be expressed, to let it come out and let it be lived through us? Praise God. Receive the word this morning. Well, Father, I just pray and thank you for your word this morning. Father, I thank you by the Holy Spirit that you are continually developing and cultivating these wonderful fruit of the Spirit, these grace gifts, the divine nature and the character of Jesus Christ within each and every one that is here this morning. And Father, we thank you as we yield ourselves to your word, to your will, Lord. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that he is our helper, and that he will cultivate and develop these wonderful fruits in our lives that will bring glory to you, Lord. That, Lord, yes, we are moving from glory to glory, from one place to another place in the spiritual realm. But you are transforming us, not only by the renewing of our minds, but transforming us from one level to the next level, becoming more like Christ each and every day. Lord, we allow you to increase that we decrease, Lord, that you elevate and we decrease, Father, so that these wonderful fruits of the Spirit can be expressed and lived out through us as your children, as your people. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. Continue to do your wonderful work within our hearts and lives. And we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit of God that is produced in our lives. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies, and that we in turn can extend loving kindness and tender mercies by the power of the Holy Spirit to others, that we can truly be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, as the love and the grace of God functions actively in and through our lives, and that we become the answer to anyone or everyone who has a problem. And as we know, the answer is Jesus Christ alone. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ alone is the answer to every problem and situation that someone may even face, that Jesus is the answer, and that we have the answer, and we are those who are willing to be the answer to someone else's problem. And Lord, I pray that you would place within our minds that someone that we can be an answer for, even now as we are here this morning. We thank you, we bless you, and the people of God say, amen, amen and amen. Well, we're down to what? Five fruits already? We got four more to go. Amen. Anybody looking forward to the next one? Isn't it wonderful? You know, I had kind of like a little bit challenge on this one. But when I Googled it and looked up all the scriptures on kindness, I couldn't believe how much scriptures there were on kindness and the kindness of God. So, I mean, it's wonderful discovering this wonderful truth. Praise the Lord.